bless him. Jesus, lover of my soul. You know, this song is a song that is written by a soldier. It was written by a soldier. You say, what kind of soldier? Well, I'm not sure. I believe there was several of these men, no doubt, were soldiers, like P.P. Bliss. But this song was written from a Christian soldier. Christian soldiers. Not every soldier who's called a soldier has outwardly weapons and armor, right? That doesn't really make you a soldier. You could have all the weapons, you could have all the armors, you could have tanks and guns. Like that one song that says, when Mama prayed, heaven paid attention. Well, the second verse on that song says, we have our secret weapon that all the bombs of earth cannot prevail. That's Mama's prayer. Mama's prayer. And a soldier is not made up of armor. A soldier is not made up of weapons. Soldiers not made up of skill and training only. But a soldier is made up of one who fights a battle. One who fights a battle. A person who fights in a battle is called a soldier. Whether it's a physical battle or a spiritual battle, an emotional battle, a financial battle, a marriage battle, a Christian battle, a battle with Satan and the flesh. That's what a soldier is. A soldier is one who fights a battle. In 2 Samuel, chapter number 1, we have a story of two soldiers that died. The King David, was living, but two soldiers died. One's name was King Saul, and one's name was Jonathan, Saul's son, David's friend. And the first 10 verses that says, now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent, and earth was upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obedience. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. Notice that the number one, in verse number 1, it says that the battle was with the Amalekites. And notice that this man who escaped the battle was an Amalekite. And he says in verse number 3 that he came out of the camp of Israel. He said, I escaped out of Israel's hand. In verse number 4 it says, and David said unto him, how went the matter, I pray thee? Tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his sons, are dead also. Now you tell me, why did a young man, an Amalekite, which is the enemy, escape Israel and come and tell the king of Israel, King David, that Saul and Jonathan's dead? Maybe he was going to David pleading for mercy. You find in verse number 5, it says, and David said to the young men, how knowest that Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish is come upon me. because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him because, look at this, I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them hither unto my Lord. Here you have the delusion of the battle that's described. First of all, in chapter number 4, you have a death in the battle. Death in the battle. Saul and Jonathan are dead amongst many others. Let me just say this morning or this evening that if there is a battle, then there's going to be a fight. And if there is a battle and there is a fight, more than likely somebody or something is going to die. That is what we call war. And here you have a death in battle. Let me just say, if you're a Christian soldier and you're going to fight for the Lord, you might as well, go ahead and make up your mind before you enter a battle that if you die in battle, you're not turning back. Is that right? You see, your mind needs to be made up. The purpose needs to be made up before you ever decide that you're going into battle. We call it picking our battles. And I believe a Christian ought to pick his battles. I don't believe you ought to go into battle foolishly with no armor, no strength, no prayer. Amen. No discernment, no training, no discipling. I believe you ought to be careful how you go into the battle, but I believe there ought to be a battle. We're here on this earth to battle. We don't battle one another neither. But we do have a battle. How many of y'all ever battled? Just say, I've battled. I've battled things. May not have been a person, but just things. I mean, you may battle something when you leave here today. You may have battled things before you came here today. The fact of the matter is, we battle things. You say, why? Because we're soldiers. Notice I said that it doesn't make you a soldier if you have armor. It doesn't make you a soldier if you have training. It doesn't make you a soldier if you have all the idols, but it makes you a soldier when you battle. That's what makes you a soldier. And so in the battle, number one, you have death in the battle. People die in battle. Number two, you have delusion in battle. Notice this man killed Saul. And Saul evidently spoke, and I'm not sure how it went down, but this man was standing there. Saul probably was wounded, but was not wounded to death. And Saul sees this young man evidently and says, stand on me. Get on me and push me down on my sword. He said, stand on me and push me down. Let my life and kill me. And so this man killed Saul. And this man was an Amalekite. But I can't figure out for the life of me why he goes back and tells David. It's almost like he wants to end the war. You know what I mean? He doesn't want no more death. He wasn't no more delusion, no more dying, no more hurting, no more hurting, no more killing. And he goes and delivers this message. Saul and Jonathan is dead. Let me tell you, sometimes in battling, there is great delusion. A great delusion is an uncertainty, almost like deception. It's an uncertainty. And you and I in our battles in life need to recognize who we're battling and why we battle what we battle and make sure that you're not battling somebody, that you shouldn't be battling somebody to go to church. A lot of times Satan will bring us in strong delusion and you'll think I'm your enemy. You'll think your husband's your enemy. You'll think your wife's your enemy. You'll think your boss at work is your enemy when they're not your enemy. And Satan is your enemy. The world is in your enemy. Your flesh is your enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil is described in the Word of God as our enemy. Look at let's go down, read verse number 14. And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand, look at this, to destroy the Lord's anointed? Now this young man knew that he was the king. This young man knew that he was an anointed king. But he stretched out his hand. Now this is what I call deception in the battle. He stretched out, he made the wrong choice and he was deceived and killed the anointing. Killed the one who was anointed. You find the deception that says in verse 15, and David called the one young man and said, go near and fall upon him, and he smote him that he died. Talking about this Amalekite that he killed. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. That's exactly what he said earlier. He testified to David. He said, I killed Saul. I know he's anointed, but he asked me to kill him, and so I stood upon him, and I killed him. Friend, that is deception from the core. You ought to be careful, church, of being deceived by Satan and cause, hey, to hurt the anointed of God's people. Hey, free will to love one another and care for one another and sacrifice one another. We are God's chosen people. We are the family of God. We are the soldiers of Christ. But deception is real. I'm talking about deception is real. Someone said, if you want to overtake a country, the best way to do it is from the inside out. Whenever in the Jeremiah, the Bible says Babylon the Great is falling and destroyed. There's two things. You can fall and not be destroyed, I believe. But Babylon was falling and destroyed. It's over, friend. You can fall and get back up. The Bible says a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. I believe God's given us mercy and God's given us grace and God's given us strength. Hey, that when we fall, hey, to get back up and we don't have to be destroyed. But you let Satan deceive you. Hey, that you're falling and you're wounded and you're hurt and you fall underneath the deception and you'll be fighting things and people who are not your enemy. Making wrong choices. Look at verse number 19. This chapter says, the beauty of Israel is slain. Upon the high places, how are the mighty fallen? Tell it in Gath. Tell it not in Gath. Don't tell the Philistines, he says. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon. There are enemies, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph, ye mountains of Gibeah. Let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is violently cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. And so in these three verses, you see, number one, you see the mighty's fallen. The mighty is fallen. How, in verse number 19, it's David is agonizing, David is weeping, David is broken. David is upset, David is about the condition. He said, the mighty are fallen. But he didn't make a statement and say, the mighty are fallen. He asked a question. He said, how are the mighty fallen? The mighty is described in Saul and Jonathan, men of war. It says that Jonathan's bow did not come back. It was not shot for no avail. It was shot. It was used in battle. And it says Jonathan's sword did not come, not return empty. He said Saul's sword didn't return empty, and Jonathan's bow did not turn back to any. He withstood his enemy. He stood his ground. You remember the story where Jonathan and his armor bearer over there in 1 Samuel chapter number 18, they withstood in that little pea patch. A little pea patch, and it said they stood against the enemies, and all around them was enemies, and he was down there, just him and his armor bearer, and he was down there for the cause of Christ. He was down there for the right cause, and he spoke to them guys, and he said, hey, if you want to fight, give me a certain word. And they called out, and he said, bring it on, boys. Hey, it might be just two of us. Hey, but we're not backing down, and we're not chucking tail and running. We're not going back to camp. Hey, but God has sent us here to stand, and they stand. And the Bible says they defend their pea patch, their little pea patch. How are the mighty fallen, though?
You know how they're fallen is because they don't stand. They lack to stand. He said, well, I'm not a capable, I'm not equipped. David wasn't equipped or capable, hey, to wear Saul's armor when he killed the giant Goliath. Hey, but he said, hey, with the mighty hand of God and the power of God, there is a cause and there is a will. Hey, there is an enemy and they're not my enemy, but they're God's enemy. And if God wants to use me and with this little sling and this little stone, hey, so be it. Let God get the glory. If I die, I die. If I win, I win. To God be the glory. And he fought his battles. He fought his battles. The mighty wasn't fallen that time. But here you have the mighty fallen in battle. Then verse 20, number 21, it says, ye mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew. And at the end it says, as though he had not been anointed with oil. Here you have the mighty fallen. Then you have the shields fallen. The shields fallen. You know, in Ephesians chapter number 6, it talks about the shield of faith. The shield of faith. You have the shield of the anointed is fallen. Let me just say, hey, when the anointing falls and the shield falls, the anointing will die. This oil of anointing was used for multi-purposes. Number one, it was used to oil the shield so that the arrows could dash and reflect off of the shield of faith that he held. But that's not what happened to Saul. Saul began to be weary, evidently, in battle, and he didn't have his shield in the right place. And he was wounded in battle because his shield was not oiled. Somebody help me. And it says, as though he had not been anointed with oil. You see, God's men, God's people are anointed. I mean, we have an anointing on God's children. Amen. Let me say, the church of the living God is a force of an anointing, power of God. We have the strength of God. We have the Holy Ghost of God. We don't live by our own might, our own intellect, our own power, our own direction, our own guidance. We have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the anointing of God. And that's how we gauge. That's how we guide. That's how we're guided. That's how we live. That's how we live. And that's how we fight our battles, is with the anointing. You can do more. You can do more in 15 minutes with the anointing of the Holy Ghost than you can a lifetime without it. You can talk and teach and pray in the Spirit and pray more in the anointing. Hey, 5 or 10 minutes. Hey, that'll last you for weeks and years on end. And you can ever pray in repetitious, hey, repeat after me prayer or some kind of carnal, fleshly prayer. Friend, I'm telling you, hey, the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. Pray continually with prayer and supplications in the Spirit. When you worship in the anointing, when you pray in the anointing, when you battle in the anointing, friend, hey, you are God's anointing. But when you let down your faith, and when you cower down, and when you don't get the oil on you, you're just like you have removed your shield, removed your protection, removed your anointing, and you'll die without the anointing like you never had the anointing. Here I see this shield was fallen. I see verse 23, the relationships with Paul and Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. And in their death, they were not divided. They died together. They were swifter than eagles and were stronger than lions. The relationships were fallen because of battle. I'm talking about battle this morning. Everybody battles. Everybody struggles. Everybody battles something. And if you're not battling, then you're not being a soldier. If you want to sit down in your little silver slippers and the temperature just right and don't touch me, don't talk to me, and don't mess with me, and don't bother me, I live on my own, do my own, got my own time, my own routine, and I'm fine as long as you don't interrupt my little bubble and my little world, amen. Hey, friend, if that's how you want to live, hey, that's fine. Well, it's not really fine, but go ahead and help yourself. But that's not what God wants you to live. That's not how God wants you to live. That's not, you never know what it is like to win unless you go through a battle. You never know what it is like to have, hey, a healing power and God answered a prayer for you unless you ever had something to pray about. You never know how beautiful the other side of the storm is. Hey, unless you've been through the storm, hey, you never know how God can work and God can do miracles for you. Hey, unless you went through it, friend, I tell you, God is all about battles. And if you're a soldier, you ought to be in a battle of some kind. So many times we cower down and back down. Hey, the first little spot of battle, the first little tension, the first little aggressive, the first little contrary winds. We're not wanting to sail no more. We're wanting to put our anchor down and get some type of comfortable place. And that's what's happening to the New Testament church. Hey, we quit battling. We quit fighting. We quit fighting for our wives. We quit fighting for our families. We quit fighting for our husbands. We quit fighting for our churches. We quit fighting for our kids. And we'll lose them all. We've got to keep battling. Keep battling. Here you have in the battle, you have well, number one, the mighty falling. Number two, the shields, the anointings falling. Number three, relationships fall. Number four, love is falling. Verse 26, it says, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been to me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? The love is fallen. Love is fallen. Oh, God, help us tonight, today. Love is fallen in the New Testament church. Let me just say, in battle, the mighty fall. In battle, sometimes the anointing falls. In battle, relationships fall. In battle, love falls. But it never fails. Never fails. It only fails if it's turncoat. If you turn your back. It only fails if you stop battling. And you give up and you throw in the towel. You quit praying. You quit loving. You quit reading. You quit going to church and you quit serving God. That's when Satan gets the victory over your paddles. That's when failure takes place in a Christian's life. I want you to look at verse 10. I want you to pay attention to this verse 10. I'm kind of slowing down. I just want to help you today. Help you get through some battles. You see, you never know what you're facing tomorrow. You never know what's going to happen Tuesday. But one thing I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds Tuesday. And I know who holds my hand. Somebody help me now. Ain't you glad? Hey, this morning. Hey, that Gary, since you were saved and born again, Jesus Christ's hand has been on you. His hold has been on you. His help has been through you. He has never failed you. He has never let you down. You have been under the shadow of Almighty God. Hallelujah to God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor power, nor any such thing can conquer me because I have Jesus Christ. And I have more, it says, I am more than conquerors. To them that loveth, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Paul said, I'm persuaded, he said. He's persuaded. How was he so persuaded? How was he persuaded? Because he'd been through it. And he'd been through it with God. And he got through it with God. He went through it. And it came to pass. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. It came to pass. Thank God it's over now. Hey, the first part of your battle, hey, it's a little rough. Amen. First part of your battle is an exception. You try to accept what's going on. You try to figure out what's going on. on. You try to ask why. Hey, but the mid part of your paddle, if you'll just hang on to Jesus, friend, hey, that'll be a hard time. Hey, but that's when you'll recognize, hey, that somebody's on your side, that somebody is fighting for you. Hey, that your power and your might is not on your own. Oh, but when you go out of the battle, thank God. He said, I gave you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when you can raise your hand with maybe a scar or maybe a tear and say, God brought me to it, but I hang on the hill and He brought me through it. Glory be to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. That's when God can get the glory out of the things in your life. Verse number 10, this man, this Amalekite says, so I stood upon him and slew him. He said, I slew Saul. Because, look at this, I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. This is my message today. Don't never let another man tell you and choose for you that you cannot live after you have fallen. He might have recovered his wound if he didn't let the pain of the moment make his life decision for him. Y'all get that? He might have recovered. You say, well, he was Saul. Spirit of God was already off of him. He's going to die. Yeah, but it didn't have to be him here. These, hey, why would God want a king to die with a battle of the Amalekites? He could have killed him with worms. He did that before. Let me tell you this morning, God never, listen to me, God never wants the enemy to have victory. He never wants the enemy to receive the glory. You remember that? He never wants the enemy to gain the outcome. He said, he will prevail. Jesus Christ will get the last laugh. Amen. And all my hope is in Jesus. Read the back of the book. I know we're going to win. I know, hey, if I die in battle, so be it. As long as I die in battle, it'll be all right. And I'm not talking about my destiny neither. I'm talking about finishing the fight. I'm talking about staying strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Let me say, Jesus said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, if you want to look at it, He says, finally, that word finally is like it's almost over. It's almost like it's a conclusion to what's happened before. Yeah, it's almost like, and it came to pass. He says, finally, in the last part of what I'm going to tell you, He said, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. How many of y'all are in the Lord? I didn't say are strong, but how many of y'all are in the Lord? And He's in you, right? Say that with me. I'm in the Lord. And He's in me. Say it one more time for Satan. I'm in the Lord. And He's in me. And Satan can't get me. Is that right? Am I right? Hey, sometimes we ought to make it verbal. Hey, that's called testimony. Sometimes we ought to make it verbal. That's called rejoicing. Sometimes we ought to make it plain and make it known. Hey, that's praising the Holy God who that loves you and gave Himself for you. Hey, that Satan is not the destroyer. He is the destroyer, but he cannot defeat the church of the living God because we're victorious. Amen. He may win some battles, but he's not going to win the battle. He may win some wars in my life, but he ain't going to get me. Finally, my brother, be strong. He says, be strong in the Lord, not weak in the Lord. Where are you at? Where are you at? Where am I at? Weary in the Lord. Weak in the Lord. Wandering in the Lord. Sometimes Christians are just like this. Their path is like zigzag, you know what I mean? God said, straight and narrow, boy. Right? Sometimes our path is zigzag. I mean, we don't even know what, I mean, that's why we're taken off guard and we're not ready and we're not, we made ourselves available, but we're not being accountable. We're just wonders. I'm a pilgrim, but I'm not really a wanderer. I'm a stranger, but I'm not a wanderer. So I ain't a gypsy, amen. I am a pilgrim, amen. Hey, this world's not my home. I'm passing through it. I know where I'm going. I know my destiny. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, man. Thank God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, let me say about this strength. This strength has to come from the Lord. How many of y'all learned that? I mean, 6 months after being saved, 6 months after trying to live right, do right, raise your family right, you've understood that your strength comes from God. Your stability, your stamina comes from the Lord. Because when you can't, He can. He says, and in the power of His might. We know that there's no might nor no power that's more than Christ. Nothing that God cannot do. Right? In the power of His might. The only effective way to make a stand for God is to be strong in the Lord. Now here's the second part of my message this morning. I said when I first started, I said if you're a Christian or if you're in a battle, that means it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean if you're in a battle if you've got a sword or a spear or armor or a tank. But those that are in the battle are those who are fighting. Those that are in the battle are those described in Ephesians chapter 6 who are standing. Standing. He said, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Why? Because He wants you to stand. Because He needs you in the battle. There's souls at stake. There's kids at stake. There's families at stake. The church is at stake. Hey, the church, can I just say on a side note, this church needs you. This church needs every one of you. This church cannot run without you. It cannot roll without you. You say, well, I don't do nothing. Yeah, you do. You do everything. You are part of this church. So we stand. And we're in a battle because we're standing. And in this verse, the verses 10 through 18, you'll find things that you stand for. Number one, it says the truth. Number two, it says righteousness. Number three, it says faith or gospel. Number four, it says stand in faith. I'm talking about this shield, this armor. Is you see, there's two. There's a physical armor that's described in a spiritual armor. There's a external armor that's describing a internal armor. Hey, just because you've got a shield on your outside and a sword on the outside does not mean that you're in a battle on the inside. Or you're winning a battle on the inside. Most of your battles, church, is right on the inside of you. It ain't everybody on the outside and everything you see on the outside. You know as well as I do, when you see somebody lashing out in hate and hurting some other people, it's because they are hurting in the inside of them. Someone's mean to you, more than likely someone's been mean to them. They feel like they've earned the right to be mean to others. There's three types of wife abusers that the world has come up with and figured out, not by biblical things. There's three types of wife abusers. And I'm going off my mind, so I don't have this wrote down. But the first one is the one that feels like they earn the right to abuse because they've been abused. It's called entitlement. And the first one is that they have an excuse to do what they do. They feel like they, not just entitlement, but they have a physical inability and they cannot control it. They have a sickness that they cannot contain. They have somebody help me with a medical term for it. Diagnosis. They've been diagnosed and therefore that's all they got. I'm sick. I've got this and I've got that. I'm ADHD, I'm PhD, and then I'm bipolar. The PhD was post hole digger, by the way. I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that. And pretty soon you've told yourself and they've told you and they've pretty much numbed your mind to tell you, you just can't get over this. Am I right? But you can. With Jesus Christ, He's the ultimate cure. So we stand for faith. We stand in the gospel. But we stand, when we stand, when we make a stand, we stand against. Why? Because we're in battle. No one is in a battle all by themselves. Let me just tell you that. And your battle is not just you on one side. Your battle is there's an enemy. There is a other party that you are battling. So we battle, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, against the wicked. The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And them are all under the power of Satan. Satan is your battle. It's your battle. The world is your battle. He's the God of it. 1 Corinthians 4:4. Your flesh is the battle because you listen to the world and Him. And therefore your flesh is not under subjection to your spirit. Therefore it becomes an enemy of yours. But it says to stand in your salvation and stand by the Word of God. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girded about with truth. It lists all these. But so if you're in battle, then you're going to be standing. Is that right? And if you're standing, then you're standing against. Even though that there's a battle, these people die in battle, the strong, the mighty are fallen. The love, the relationship doesn't matter, doesn't mean that you have to fail or die with your back turned against God. We're living in a day where people they're turning their back on God. And they're no longer standing. They're no longer standing. They're no longer standing. I believe we ought to stand somewhere. Stand somewhere. Stand where you have stood in the past. Stand where our forefathers have stood in the past. Excuse me. Stand where the Word of God says to stand. Did you know what the opposite? Y'all pay attention. You know what the opposite of standing is? Somebody tell me what's the polar opposite of standing. Falling. Falling. You're right, Ben. Falling. The description of falling, look here, is descending or dropping or apostatizing are declining or decreasing or sinking. You're no longer standing. We are falling. In Saul's case, it happened suddenly. Suddenly. In the Babylonians' case, the Babylonian Empire, it happened suddenly. From the inside out, before their very eyes. Suddenly. But it doesn't all the time happen suddenly. The occurrence of falling happens pretty fast. If you was to fall from the height of 100 foot, you'd reach speeds up to 110 miles an hour before you would hit the ground. But the falling would not kill you unless you had a heart attack, which I probably would. But it's that sudden stop. You can be saved from falling. They figured it out. They have got ways to catch you. They have got different things, hey, that they have learned, hey, how to come and catch people when they jump off of high rises. There is ways to be caught from falling. You don't have to die when you're falling. Jeremiah said, Babylon is falling, suddenly falling. And the second part of that was what? And destroyed. See, we got a God who is able to deliver us. This Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. This while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, oh, my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe unto the heaven God, haven God. Oh, receive my soul at last. You don't have to fall and stay there. You can rebound. Rebound means to spring back up from falling. Amen. How many of y'all ever rebounded before? I mean, just say, I've rebounded. I mean, if you've ever, you say, and how many of y'all could say, I am rebounding now, huh? Or I'm still rebounding. Because the fall is affected. I mean, there's a lot of things take place with a fall. It affects you when you fall. It does a lot to you. They say someone who has fallen goes through a lot, emotional stir, physical, like adrenaline, but they're also like it is what they call slow motion, slow moving. I remember my brother told that story about him falling off that roof. I remember him when he fell off that roof. And he said it was the same as like, you know, in your mind, it's like slow. You want to reverse that? But I remember the last time I saw him, he was just like this on a roof. He hit his hands on the two-story roof like this, and he was bug-eyed. You know what he said in his mind? You know what he told me? I'm gone. I'm falling. Concrete down there, two-story concrete. I mean, he was going to get hurt or die. It's the last thing I seen. He's walking with a chalk box, talking, wasn't paying attention, just like this. Thank God there was a Ford Taurus car that somebody just so happily parked right there underneath him. Had no idea it was there. I jumped off the roof, running around there, and there Billy was sitting on the back of the car in the back glass with his elbows. He was like picking glass out of his elbow like right there. He got up out of the car and says like, whoa, man. I said, you all right? He said, yeah, I'm fine, man. I'm fine. That was down there in Franklin, Louisiana. Brother, what's that brother's name? Passed away this last year. He's a good brother. Anyway, falling. But the rebound means to start back. To resist the force. To impulse, impressed, to rebound. It's almost like an echo comes back. All right? So there's falling. What happens if you lose your foot when you're standing? Falling's embarrassing. I'm trying to close down. Y'all help me now. Falling's embarrassing. How many of y'all ever fell and got up and turned around and looked around and see if anybody saw you fall? Ain't that right? I mean, that's the first thing you think of. Let me just say this. More than likely, somebody saw you. More than likely, somebody saw you fall. More than likely, somebody saw you fall. Even if it's spiritually. He said, I was by myself. They know, we know. God knows. Children know. Let me tell you, children know. They know. More than likely, somebody saw you fall. But it's not the fall that's the big deal. That is a deal. It's the rebound. And you see, sometimes when you fall, sometimes more than often or whatever, you need help getting back up. Am I right? If you fall, more than likely you're going to need some help. How many of y'all could just honestly say, I'm talking about spiritually now, not physically, Paul. How many of y'all could honestly say, I believe God has used me to help somebody get back up? How many of y'all could say that? I believe God has used me to help somebody get back up. Did you know that's one of your jobs as a Christian? That is one of your greatest, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, the verse number 18, 19, it says, praying with all perseverance in the Spirit. Pray without ceasing with all perseverance in the Spirit. It says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's what it says. See, not only are you supposed to watch to make sure you don't fall, you're supposed to watch and help others that they will not fall. But if they fall, you're supposed to persevere. You're supposed to reconciliation. You're supposed to help with the restitution. You're supposed to reach down, not kick them while they're down. Hey, but reach down and say, get back up, amen. God's good all the time. Hey, He loves you. He'll hold you. He'll help you. Get back up. There's another day. The sun will rise again. And that is called reviving. There's a 3 steps to someone who's standing, who loses their step. Number 1 is falling. Number 2 is rebounding. But number 3 is what we all enjoy, is reviving. And reviving is bringing to life that which is dead. Bringing to life that which is dreary. Bringing to life that which has fallen and been damaged and descended away from where you were. God wants to revive those that are in battle. You see, I believe Saul may could have been revived. The right person come along when Saul was wounded. Listen to me now. Brother Jay, the right person come along. Somebody's wounded. Saul was wounded. Could have spared his life. I'm telling you, church, the right person come along when you're down can help you. But it may not never happen unless you exercise that to others. I said it may not never happen to you unless you exercise that to others. You said church is full of, we're battles, we're soldiers, but church is the habitation for the saints. No, it's a hospital for sinners. It's a hospital for the wounded. It's a place to be revived. It's a place to be recovered. It's a place to rebound. It's a place to be healed. It's a place to praise Him and rejoice and tell our testimonies how God in heaven, hey, reached down and took us out of the mire and took us out of the miry clay and put a song in our hearts and helped us and healed us and saved our very lives. That's what it's about. Because we're soldiers and we stand and we're in battle. Listen, we're in battle. If I fall, you're responsible to pick me up. If I fall as your pastor, you're responsible. Who else is going to do it? My shadow? No, my church. I'm relying on my church and all of you. I'm hoping my church, hey, will reach down and reach out and not kick me and stop me and flew me and fire me. but will love and forgive. Pick me back, reestablish. Feed me, amen. Feed me, amen. Help me with strength. Get me back on my feet. Put a new soul. Hey, encourage me to preach the Word of God again. I can't do it on my own. I need my other soldiers in Christ. And so do you. You need me and you need your brothers and your sisters because we're all in battle together. We're not war at one another. Our enemy is Satan and the world and the flesh, and we are soldiers. Hey, but friend, we're going to, hey, a better country. Sometimes soldiers experience a lot of things that they never talk about. Miss Billy, if you make your way to the piano, you can pick a song, sis. Brother John, won't you come and lead us in a song, Brother Johnny? We're going to prepare for invitation. Let me say, while they're getting ready, a lot of soldiers, when they face these things in battles, they face a lot of bloody stuff, a lot of things that they never talk about. And sometimes they need to talk about them. And it's not gossip. It's not women gossiping, amen. Amen. It's not men gossiping. Hey, but it's real hurts and real cares and real needs and real burdens and real scars. Hey, that you want God to get the victory. You don't want to die, hey, in that battle. You don't want to let it get the best of you, but you want to let God have the best of you. And therefore, you've got to put it to prayer and help with the healing and the hope and the love of God. There may be somebody wounded that you know right now that you need to come and pray for them. And not just pray for them. Hey, but act upon your prayer and let God say, God, give me something, hey, that I can do. Hey, to patch that wound. Hey, to wind that wound up. Heaven, hey, to pour a little oil. We need God's anointed to be in the anointed place. We don't need them to die. The anointed to die. We need it to carry on. Let's stand our feet this morning. God's touched your heart. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come? This is a healing time, healing service, a healing time of prayer. Seeking God. Let me tell you, there's hope for the fallen. Jesus, lover of my soul, it says, other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. We have no other hope. We have no other hospital. We have no other help for our spiritual needs. But our help cometh from the Lord. He is the rock of ages. He's the rock of all ages. He's your rock. He's your high tower. He's the place of refuge. He's the one that you talk to, the one that you cry to, and the one that you pray to about others. That is your God, your help. It says, leave, oh, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. We need to make a stand, church. We're in the battle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, I pray. God, I'm not for sure the reason of this message. Lord, I'm not for sure the battle, Lord, that your people are going through. God, but I think about these young people here. Lord, and how that the church has fallen. Society has fallen. America has fallen. Morals have fallen. Convictions have fallen. Standards have fallen. Love has fallen. Marriages is falling. But you're the same yesterday and today and forever. And you never fail, never fall. God, and when America falls, I want to be holding on to Jesus. When I fall, I want to be holding on to you, and I want you holding on to me. So maybe there'd be a teenager, young adult, young teenager, young child in here that will make a stand. Say, by God's grace, I'm gonna give myself to God. I want to stand for what's right. I want to be a soldier of the Lord. Because I want Him. I want to be fighting. I want to be in battle. I recognize the need to stand. And I want to stand by the grace of God. I'm not going to stand in my own power, my own might. I'm going to be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. And if I fall, I know I can get back up. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Help us, I pray. Bless your people and answer their prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you